Amen. Thank you, Ms. Ann. Let's begin with a prayer as we begin this time of worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your holy name and praise you, for you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You are the King of the universe. You are the mighty creator, the establisher. Thank you for establishing your place in our hearts and lives through your Son, Jesus, through the presence of the Holy Spirit. We worship you, Lord. We sing your praise and adore you today. As we examine your word, as Joel leads us, I pray that you'll strengthen us as we take hold of the truth of the gospel. As we receive the Lord's Supper today, may we take hold of the truth of the gospel presented in that way and remember all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we begin. We're going to do a responsive reading related to today being Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He went along. People spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna loud, Hosanna, the little children sang. Through pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed them, close folded to his breast, the children sang their praise. Simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed mid an exultant crowd. The victor palm branch waving and chanting clear and loud. The Lord of earth and heaven rolled on in lowly state.
Welcome, glad you're here.
In the name of
Amen. Brother Joel takes the blame a lot, but that was on me. Come on.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It is always my fault, but that one was you.
That was on me.
That's on you. Welcome. Glad you're here. Good to see all of you that are visiting with us. Glad the Lord has led you to worship with us today at First Baptist Church. Take a moment, walk around, welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning.
Well, hello there. How are you today? Music that we can sing each week, and especially on weeks when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Some beautiful hymns that talk about the elements that we'll be receiving in a few minutes. Jesus' body that was broken for you and for me, and his blood that was shed for you and for me. Jesus suffered on our behalf, and I'm so thankful that he was willing to do that when he took upon himself our punishment, punishment that should have been for us, because of our great sin. But God loved us so much. He demonstrated his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hymn number 337 talks about his blood that was shed for our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh,
the ladies sing the beginning phrases of the third verse, and then everyone join for Nothing But the Blood. And we'll do the same thing on the last with the men leading the first phrase. So, ladies, begin with Nothing Can For Sin Atone. Ready? Congregational singing. Thank you so much. We're going to keep that going as we sing a beautiful song about the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. It's hymn number 323. It is our offertory hymn. We'll sing the first, second, third, and the last. We'll remain seated until we get to the last stanza, but Drops of Grief.
Save me then, Lord,
Would you join me in prayer? Lord and Heavenly Father, we come this morning before you in your presence with joyful hearts, rejoicing, Lord, for the Most High God that we serve, that loves us, cares for us, provides for us. Lord, that we can put all our trust, our hope, and faith in you. Lord, this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, may we do it in remembrance of you, Lord, and all the things that you have done. Lord, and may you be glorified for it. Lord, we ask this morning as we take up an offering, Lord, that you'll just multiply it and bless it, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom, so people will know you and make you known. In all things, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them.
This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt."
The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road.
Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David!
Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord!
Praise God in highest heaven!"
Oh,
Thank you, choir. All right, so Ken, is that just for today? Did you pull that out just for Palm Sunday? Or, I'm hoping the second's one where I'm going with this. Or are we going to hear that again next Sunday? All right, good. All right, so next Sunday in this worship service, our choir will be leading us in our Easter music. And so we look forward to that, and you'll hear that song again. Excellent. Looking forward to that already. All right, so if you have your Bibles, today is Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And our text for today is Mark chapter 11, Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And that is Mark's version of the triumphal entry. So it is at this point that Mark begins this Jesus riding into town, celebrating he is indeed the Messiah. And so it all started back in chapter 9 for Mark. So in chapter 9, after the transfiguration with Jesus and Peter and James and John as they come down the mountain, that's where Mark starts his journey for Jesus to Jerusalem. So Jesus is now working his way, on his way. Now Jesus knows exactly what he's going to. He's going to his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we're working our way toward the death, burial, and resurrection. And then it ends in the end of chapter 10. Jesus heals the blind man named Bartimaeus. And so now the journey is complete. And so Jesus is about to enter into the city to the greatest week in the history of the world. R.C. Sproul writes, "All four gospel writers slow down their narration of Jesus' life considerably once Jesus makes his final visit to Jerusalem. And each one devotes an extraordinary amount of attention to the events between Palm Sunday and the resurrection of Jesus. The amount of space devoted to this one week in Jesus' life shows the full significance of his life and ministry is revealed only in his passion." So Mark uses 6 of his 16 chapters to tell the story of the last days of Jesus' life. That is a significant point that cannot be overlooked. The last week of Jesus' life then is the consummation of everything that he has done and everything that he has said. It all is coming to fruition right here at the last week of his life. And so the point is that all the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all do the same thing. So they all slow down considerably and they spend an enormous amount of time in this one last week of Jesus' life. Now, none of the gospel writers tell us or say to us before this week begins and Jesus rides into town, none of the gospel writers say, hey, everybody pay attention now. What I'm about to tell you about Jesus' life, this is something that you cannot miss. But just the sheer volume of the amount of time that was given by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about this last week of Jesus' life reveals this is vitally important to those of us who know Christ as Savior and Lord. This is the gospel coming to fruition. And so that's how important this is. So Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. We've already heard it. We've been singing about it as the choir, the narration. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany, the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent 2 of his disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you doing this?' then tell him, 'Because the Lord needs it.' We'll send it back here shortly." They went, they found a colt outside, just like Jesus said, in the street, tied to a doorway. As they untied it, someone, just like Jesus said, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered, just as Jesus told them to answer. And the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their coats over it, and he sat on it. Many people then spread their coats on the road, while others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming king of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and he went to the temple. He looked around, surveying everything that was going to happen. Since it was already late, he then went out to Bethany with the 12. So Mark records all of these people in front of Jesus, behind Jesus, beside Jesus, everywhere around Jesus, as Jesus is riding into town and they are screaming, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." In that culture, they used a word that was from the Old Covenant. In the Old Testament, it only found in one dear place in the Old Testament is Psalm chapter 118, verse 25. And they used a word that pronounced in the Hebrew language is Hoshi'ana. Hoshi'ana. And Hoshi'ana was God's people crying out to their Father God in a terrible, difficult day of time of life. And they were crying out to God because that Hoshi'ana literally meant save us. Save us now. Save us please. It was God's people begging their Father to save them. No amount of money is going to save us. Mom and dad can't save us. Wife and husband can't save us. Nobody can seem to save us. And so they did what God's people have always done and still do to this day. They cried out, "God, we've turned to everything under the sun and nothing is going to save us, so we turn to you." And so they cried, "Hoshi'ana, Father, save us, please." Words have a tendency, or phrases have a tendency to change over the course of time. We have words in our culture that what meant something 50 years ago. A new generation comes along, they use the same word, but it has a totally different meaning. And that happened in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. So this Old Testament phrase, Hoshi'ana, save us, save please, over the course of the years changed to a Greek-speaking culture. And that word was now then pronounced the way we pronounce it, Hosanna. It's no longer Hoshi'ana, meaning save, please, but now it's the word, it's a word that says, sounds like Hosanna, and now the word means salvation is now on its way. Jesus is riding into town, and they are screaming this Old Testament phrase, Old Covenant phrase, save please, but they are saying it like this: oh, there he is. Salvation is now on its way. I told a little story in the early worship. My good friend David Bridges, David and I go to lunch a lot together, and so David sends me a text a couple of weeks ago, and David sends me a text, "Hey, Papa Doobie's 11:15, see you there." All right, so I go to Papa Doobie's, I meet David, and it's actually one or two others that are there. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see our old church secretary, Kelly Brooke Brown. Kelly Brooke used to be the Karen Fancher of our church, and so she was the secretary, and she used to go to church here and sing a lot with the choir. And so I hadn't seen Kelly Brooke in a long time. And I looked over and Kelly Brooke was looking at me and she was laughing. So I walked over there and sat down by Kelly Brooke. And she and her mother were laughing. And I said, "What are y'all laughing at?" And her mother said, "Well," all of a sudden Kelly Brooke was eating and she just came up out of her food. And she looked at me and she said, "He's here." And she said, "Who is here?" Kelly Brooks said, He is here." "Who is he?" And about that time, Kelly Brooks looked and we made eye contact and I was pointing at her. And she said, "That's Joel Samuels." I would know that laugh anywhere in the world. I knew Joel Samuels was in the restaurant. Apparently, I'm loud and I have a very distinct laugh. And I'm seen or heard wherever I go. God's people were pointing to a man sitting on a donkey, and they were saying, "He's here." Who's here? He. He's here. He is the Messiah. He is the one. I don't know. I don't know if Jesus was loud and had a distinct laugh. I don't know any of that. Don't know. We'll know one day when we're face to face with Jesus. But I do know that this, when Jesus came riding into town, they were pointing at Jesus and saying, "He is the Son of David. He is the one. He is the one that we've been screaming about and crying out about. Save us now. Save us, please. There He is." They were pointing, literally pointing their fingers at Jesus, saying, "He is salvation. He saved us from our guilt, from our fear, from our hopelessness, from our sin. He saved us from death." So today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I just want that to ring in your heart and your mind. We don't celebrate the Lord's Supper but about once every quarter, once every 3 months. And oftentimes when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, somebody will come up to me and say, "Man, I wish we did that more." And I say, "No, that's what makes it special." Because when we do celebrate the Lord's Supper as the body of Christ at First Baptist Church, because we only do it once a quarter, when we celebrate it, that's our focus. Our whole focus of attention is on that. So everything that Ken sings, all the music in both of the worship services, all the worship that Ken feels led of the Lord to plan, it's all focused on that, the Lord's Supper. And then the word that we proclaim, that it's all focused on the Lord's Supper. And then we celebrate, literally we celebrate it together as the body of Christ. It's as if symbolically we're all joining together around the table of the Lord to celebrate the gift of life. And so everything is focused on celebrating what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So I always try to leave you with one thing to pray about, one thing to think about, for your heart to jump for joy about when we're holding this little piece of bread in our hand representing the body of Christ, when we're holding this little cup of juice in our hand representing the blood of Christ. I just want you to be thinking about this one thing. And today, Palm Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. I just want that song, not literally the song, but the song that was proclaimed by God's people 2,000 years ago, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When I hold that little piece of bread in my hand, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When I hold that little cup of juice in my hand, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Deacons, if you'll come, let's celebrate together. So later on in the week, Jesus met with his disciples because they were there to celebrate the great Passover celebration where God delivered his people from slavery. So they were there to celebrate what God had done for them in giving them freedom. And so in that celebration, Jesus took some bread and he prayed over it, passed it to his disciples, and this would be the representation of his body given for us. Father, we thank you for the body of Christ on the cross, literally in our place. My body, my sinful body should be on that cross. I've earned it. I deserve it. But Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, went to the cross as my substitute. The full sacrifice has been given. And I'm thankful today that as I hold this little piece of bread in my hand, that I can sing, "Hosanna, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In Christ we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body which is given for you. Take and eat." He did the same thing with the cup. We call it the cup of blessing. The cup representing Jesus' blood covering all of our sin. Blood that was shed, our sacrifice. Father, we're thankful for this little cup of juice that we hold in our hand, and it represents for us the blood of Christ that covers all of our sin. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my blood which is shed for you. Take and drink." The hymn of invitation that we want to sing is very appropriate. Jesus paid it all. If you've never trusted Christ, you've heard the gospel from Mark chapter 11. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You have witnessed the gospel, the body and blood of Christ. You have celebrated the gospel in literally as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord today, that is our prayer for you. Our prayer for you is that you would repent of your sin and that you would put your trust and your faith in Him. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you know Jesus, then our prayer is that by hearing the gospel, by celebrating the gospel in the Lord's Supper, that that gospel is just burned in your heart and in your mind and in your life deeper and deeper and deeper. Father, we thank you for the good news today. Thank you for the gospel that we proclaim that is our everything. Thank you, Father, that as the body of Christ, we come together today to celebrate the gift of life that has been given to us. In all things, Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. Thank you for the day of celebration. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Jesus paid it off. If you need to make a decision today, then we encourage you to do that as we stand, as we sing. Seated real quickly. Last night I was at Walmart and I looked at Janice and I said, "Oh, there's Bennett." And Janice went, "Who?" And about that time, "Pastor Joel." And it was Bennett. And she was coming out of that buggy to get to Pastor Joel. Man, I love that Bennett. Every Sunday morning, in case y'all don't know, Bennett comes down here and gives me and Ken a hug and welcomes us to First Baptist Church. And so we are thrilled to have Bennett welcoming us to First Baptist Church. Well, her daddy, Craig, and Bennett Hass, they come today. Craig knows Jesus as his Savior and Lord, has followed Christ in believers' baptism, been a part of our church now for several years, and coming today saying, I know this is where officially I want to worship and serve the Lord. Bennett comes today. I know that she's trusted Christ as her Savior and Lord. and comes today saying, I want to follow Jesus in believer's baptism. So we look forward to that moment in her life when she follows Christ as her Savior and Lord. So I know that everybody's in favor. Craig, Bennett, coming today to be a part of First Baptist Church, all in favor. See, nobody opposed to that. Boy, they'd have to fight me and Ken both for that. With if anybody opposed to Bennett. So in just a moment when we're done, you come by and you say a word of encouragement as they come to be at First Baptist Church. All right, go past the video. What's the first thing we got? WMU, oh, no, that was this past Thursday. All right, men's ministry, no, that was yesterday. All right. So Ken, this coming next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, during this worship service, the choir, they gave us a little presentation of that.
Yeah, it lasts about 30 minutes, yep. And it's powerful, as you could tell by the song we sang earlier. So it'll be 30 minutes of that, and then Brother Joel will come and deliver God's message and for us on Easter Sunday morning. It's going to be a great day. We're encouraging people from the early worship to plan to stay, and so I hope that you'll invite your friends to come and be a part of that special service.
Going to be really good. All right, Women's Conference is April the 27th, that Saturday. And if you need information, Rachel, our children's minister's wife, Rachel Gilmore, then you can see others, Rachel Brown, others that are going to be leading in that. So that'll be a good thing. Next Sunday is children's ministry. Micah will be having Easter egg hunt. You see that on the playground. So 10:15, looking forward for that. Spring Fellowship, senior adults, sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. That is Tuesday, April the 2nd at 5 p.m., all right?
Then we've got a singing here on Friday night of that week, April the 5th, 7 o'clock. Danny Funderburk is a really great tenor singer. He sang with the Cathedrals Quartet. It's where I first became familiar with him. He's bringing an all-star quartet to kind of back him up. They're going to be terrific. The FBC Pickers are going to be there, plus others. And I have a certain amount of complimentary tickets for people in our church that are interested in going. And so you can see me after the service, and I've got them here at the church, and we can make sure you have your tickets for that. They're free. If we run out of those, they're $15 a piece.
All right, and then go ahead and put on your calendar Saturday, April the 13th. We're going to have that morning from 8 to 12, spring cleanup day. So look forward to that. All right, let's all stand and close by singing Victory in Jesus. Come say a word of encouragement to Craig and Bennett.
Oh, victory.